The following program was produced by an independent community producer. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the ECAT staff or board of directors.
Come to you from underneath a peach blossom. It's time for an episode of Be Awesome. Find positivity throughout your life and work. Just like our mascot rooster, Steve the Jerk.
Hello and welcome, Be Awesome podcast listeners. I have been away for a little bit here now, probably since September 29th, I think the date was. And I got to tell you, the most requested thing I've had happen in 5 years was people said they wanted more of Mark Resnick. And we did a couple of episodes. We're doing these bundled, batched episodes where we come in and Adam from ECAT sits down with us for 4 or 5 hours and bring some guests in. And the last batch, Mark came in and you sat in a couple of them. We did the one on your book, and then you sat with Aaron Galgan, and you might have sat in. Did you sit in with another one? You were here all day with me.
I was here all day.
Yeah. No, you're here all day. And I guess that's what people wanted. People wanted more Mark Resnick. It's like,
when the people speak, Josh.
Yeah, you gotta listen to the people. So Mark is back, and I think Mark's gonna be back now that we have this set up. I think he's gonna come back as often as possible, hopefully all time, and join me and co-host with our episode. We're gonna record a couple episodes today, but where we've been off for a little bit, thought it'd be good to reintroduce Mark and just chop it up a little bit and actually let him take the wheel of being the host and interviewing me a little bit, I guess, is kind of the idea behind this. Maybe talk about travels, journeys, trials, dilemmas, and all that other stuff. So,
well, I haven't had a chance to practice this, but do I get to do a hello, Be Awesome listeners?
Let's start the welcoming right. You do the intro. It's all you going from here on out.
All right, take two. Hello, Be Awesome listeners. This is Mark Resnick with Josh Peach, as we call him. And it's a Friday, beautiful Friday here in New England in Easton. Thank you to Adam and ECAT for hosting us once again. I just want to jump right into this. I don't understand your life. Josh and I talk every single day. Pretty much.
Yeah.
And text and all that good stuff. And I've just given up. I have no idea where you are, where you're going. I get messages all. Where you been for the past 40 days? I mean, honestly, you've been home like twice. Like, give me a synopsis here.
Yeah. So it started September 20th. I went to Kansas City, then to St. Joe's, Missouri, then to Branson, Missouri, then to Chicago, then to Dallas, Denver, Vail. Home for a day and a half, 2 days, back to Kansas City, to Topeka, Kansas, to Seattle, to Yakima, back home. That got me to October 7th, I guess, October 6th, home for 2 days. And then I went to Orlando, Columbus, Ohio, Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin was the most recent. Washington, D.C., Anaheim, Los Angeles, and Worcester. We did Worcester in there in October 16th and 17th.
I got to unpack this because I'm dizzy right now. I don't think people understand. Well, first of all, you have multiple companies. You know, it's not just a Be Awesome brand. Yeah. So you do have a real, I call it a real job, a day job. What's the breakdown of these trips? Is it? I know you kind of blend them all in, but is that how that works?
It's working that way right now. So so I have Be Awesome. Be Awesome was created. It was originally created to write a book, and we still haven't written one. I think Lam met you last year, and we're partnering together, going down this journey. We're going to have a book here in the near future. So Be Awesome was a side project, and what happened was it just picked up. It started this podcast, picked up interest. People said, "Hey, we want to hear your story." Like while you're writing this book, that's going to have your story, which is the book we're going to talk about. Changing it around over and over again to what it needs to be. But we want to hear you speak. And so I started doing paid speaking keynotes while I had a day job. And in December 2020, the day job ended after 17 years abruptly. And so Be Awesome took more of a focal point of, making that my long-term kind of business strategy. I went in, I worked with a past podcast guest who's probably saved my life in a lot of ways. Les Trackman went in the health sector for a little bit and did some other stuff. But a year ago, two of my friends, Scott Carpenter and Pat Buchanan, they started a software company that did what the previous company I was with for 17 years. And they were starting out, and I just said, hey, you guys just pay me commission only for a year, you know, no benefits, no salary, no anything. It's really a risky play, right?
Yeah.
And the way that the software works is typically people pay on July 1st, and I started on July 7th. So it was literally 12 months.
That's not good timing.
Yeah, no, my timing's never really good with that stuff. You know, I got the Be Awesome paid keynotes. I've got K-12 pros, which I take retired operations professionals, put them back in the workforce. And then I'm doing this consulting gig. And Operations Hero took off. Like, we just blew up. Like, over 500 new, it's a school-based software for facility management and operations. And went from a couple dozen clients to over 500 in a year. We got a whole statewide contract. We got a whole bunch of stuff. And so in August of this year, Scott and Pat said, hey, we want you to stay on. We want to make you a W-2 employee. We want you to have skin in the game. We want you to be a part of this.
Great.
And so this 41 days, I did 22 events, and it was right around half and half. Like, half of them were Be Awesome paid keynotes and really amazing events. And then the other half were, I was booth candy. You know, I was going out working trade shows and sharing the great word of all the things that goes great with Operations Hero. So
I've worked a booth with you. It is definitely Josh candy,
mm-hmm.
for sure. Post Halloween.
Oh yeah, we were having a lot of fun. Yeah,
yeah.
We were in one event.
Wait, you're gonna tell us about the mask, right?
The gladiator.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I was at one event this last month in the exhibit hall was like really quiet, like crickets. And so I was like, hey, let's take the booth table out, and let's get LCR and let's start throwing dice. And so you ever play LCR?
No.
It's left, right, center. It's a great game. It just,
maybe I have.
Yeah. So it brings a lot of energy to anywhere that it's at. So we literally started an LCR dice game right in the middle of the show floor and just had a blast. Like, people were coming over, talking to us, and you're just getting creative, like trying to, like, a booth doesn't need to be like this really grandiose anything. It needs to be something welcoming where people want to come and talk to you. And so that's kind of what I do with Operations Hero. So, but yeah, it's been busy. I'm going to Alaska. That's cool.
Back to Santa?
No, I'm not going to see Santa on this trip. Going to see Santa in July. So going up to Anchorage, I got actually two back-to-back keynotes. I got one on a Monday at the Captain Cook Hotel in Anchorage. And then I have one three blocks down at another hotel in Anchorage, which will be, those are always fun because, you know, it's not daylight until 10 in the morning. It's like pitch black. And so, you know, when you're getting ready and you're going to the event, it's like you're going, you don't know which way.
It's like a night event.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah. First thing in the morning. And technically, if it's like 8 o'clock in the morning there, it's noon here. So my day is well in. It's kind of trippy.
So if it starts at 10, the sun, what time does it go until? When does the sun set?
In December, it's 3, like around 3 o'clock.
See? That's so weird.
Yeah, you get 4 to 5 hours of sunlight.
Yeah.
And then you flip the script and you go up like, so I typically go up to Alaska a couple times a year. I've been up there now probably 15 times. And so typically I'll go up in the winter once and I'll go up in the summer once. And it's really wild because, like, I'll go up next month and it'll be, you know, dark basically all the time. And then I'll go up in July. And it's daylight for 22 hours. So you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning and the sun's just going down. Like, it's literally going down and it's coming back up at, you know, 5:30. So I always tell people you should go to Alaska twice. You should go once in the winter and once in the summer. I don't know how people that live there do it.
I don't either.
And they're like, the people are just like upbeat and happy year round.
Really?
Like, I think I would see myself being depressed.
Now, is Iceland like that? I'm going to Iceland in January, which we'll talk about later. But is that similar, like short daylight in the winter?
Yeah, I think it's exactly what it is. Yeah, okay. I think that they have like right on the same line of what they get, the northern lights, and they get all that stuff.
Okay, well, let's now that I'm a co-host,
mm-hmm.
or unofficial co-host,
host.
One of my goals is to get some sponsors in here because all this travel and, you know, we're drinking Liquid Death.
And I'm drinking Jason Momoa's water.
Jason Momoa. I mean, You're too valuable not to have a sponsor on this.
Yeah,
show.
Well, I'll tell you, the water thing is huge. I owned a spring water delivery business, and a lot of people don't know that, but I owned a spring water delivery business with my dad in the 90s, and we delivered the big 5-gallon plastic jugs, and I liked those because they were made out of this Lexan plastic that was, you could reuse a ton of times, but I fought the small bottles just because of the single use plastic.
And I'm
loving to see, you know, it costs more, but you know, I get kids and I get, you know, I'm not like full environmentalist. I drive a pickup truck. There's pieces of things that I do that you'd be like, oh my God, you're contradicting yourself. But if there's things that you can do, you should do them. And so I've become a huge proponent of aluminum can water, or even better, boxed water, like the milk carton stuff that's made out of 90% pre-recycled goods. That it's a better product. It's not sitting in a landfill or in the ocean.
I've never had the cardboard ones, but the aluminum ones are so smart.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we're all contradictions. We can't really beat ourselves up too badly. I have 2 electric cars,
yep.
And I still go to Costco once a month and buy the bottled water for $4 a case or whatever it is. And I hate using it. I don't use it, but my kids do.
Yeah.
But we're all contradictions like that, you know. Yeah. You just got to do your part little by little.
And you listen to what people say about electric cars, and they still need to use fossil fuels and all this other stuff.
Don't get me started, Josh. It's still 1/3 of the carbon emissions that a normal car would make. I've done my homework. The batteries are very, not very environmentally friendly.
Yeah.
But the overall net reduction.
It's better than my pickup truck.
A lot. 2/3 better. Oh, pickup truck probably even more.
Mm.
But I did see the electric pickup truck the other day. First time ever. The Ford.
Yeah.
I was pretty impressed.
Yeah.
I saw somebody actually driving it pull up in a parking spot, and I was like, did a double take.
Looking, yeah.
Well, it looks the same, but like it sounded, it had a little kick to it. They must have like did some kind of audio thing to it. But
so I put the deposit on that, and COVID screwed COVID screwed everything up for everybody in a lot of ways. But so I put the deposit right when that came out, and it was going to be available. I put the deposit in like 2019. It was like $100 just to hold my spot, and then they come back and they tell you when the expectation of it is. And so in the beginning of 2020, I think it was, they said that I could expect delivery first quarter of 2021, which was like, cool. Now the sticker on that thing's like $80,000.
Yep.
And so COVID hit, and then all of a sudden everything started to change, and my pickup truck was actually worth more than when I bought it 2 years prior, if I traded it in or sold it. So I was like, this is great. Perfect timing. Sell my truck in November, ride it out for 3 months without it. I'll have this cash. Get the electric pickup truck and see what it's all about. And right when I came up with this genius idea, they're like, the expected delivery is now fourth quarter 2021, first quarter 2022. I'm like, I can't wait a year. And then everything just kind of flip-flopped again. Yeah. So, but I've been looking at those, you know, Rivian, and I can't do without a pickup truck. That's one of my, I used to like sports cars and other things. And now it's like, I can't ever see myself without a pickup truck, other than now where my son's driving it all over the place. So
let me just jump back for a sec to this 40 days, because I'm still a little baffled and confused. But the timing, the drive, let's be honest, it takes a toll on the family a little bit too, right? They know the drill.
Yep.
She's used to it.
You never get used to it.
That's my point.
Yep.
Yeah. It must be hard for her.
It's very hard. Yeah. And it's you know, it's one of those things that my skill set is kind of limited, right? It's like, as far as my ability to earn what I'm accustomed to and what I'm accustomed to providing, my skill set's fairly limited, right? So I'm good in sales, software sales, so specifically education software sales and facility management, really specifically. Like I've got 27 years in that specific market. So that requires a lot of travel, because there's just that people want you to be there. And there's the, you know, associations and trade shows that are important that you have to be there. And then, you know, from a keynote, professional development, client service, which we're working on something really cool with that. There's a market here that I could be home every day, but it's not large enough to fulfill all that's that I feel is needed. Like, could we downsize? Yeah. Could we, you know, do other things? Probably. Could we do things to lighten the load? Yeah, but then what does that look like? And now I'm almost 50 years old, and this is all I know, right? And so, it's stressful, it's straining, it's difficult, it's definitely not easy. The result is that, you know, I get to provide for my family, I get to make a difference. I was just coming over here, and I was talking to the executive director of the Ohio Association, where I did a keynote 2 weeks ago, and he's like, "Hey, man, I'm reading these reviews, and the stuff that I'm seeing is like, you know, whoever got Josh Peach needs to get a raise, and Josh was life changing and stuff." And that's like wild stuff to hear, right? It's just like, holy mackerel. And you've sat in my keynote, and it's like, it's not, I don't know, it's more, I try to make it more about the people than it is about me. And yet it still comes out like I did something great. It's like, I just try to bring awareness to how awesome the people in the audience are with some funny stories.
Yeah. That's a chapter in the
which
book.
Which the colonoscopy was a hit. That was I think that's what happened in Ohio. Is I got open, the Ohio conference was amazing because it was like 98% women, and I was like, shoot, should I talk about? Because I talk about August being COVID kids and colonoscopies because that's what my August looked like. And I was like, do I do it? Do I not do it? Do I do it? And I did it, and it was hysterical. It was just such a funny story that I shared with everybody. I'm like, what? I did a podcast on it. I can talk to you about it. And the audience was like laughing harder than I had ever like, I didn't know how that comfort level was. And it was like how this audience got comfortable listening to me and nodding their head when I was like, it's the best sleep you'll ever get. And they're all nodding their head yes. And I'm like, now I know who's gotten one in this room. Thank you. And so I was amazed at the feedback that I've gotten on it so far. But it's not easy. And to be honest with you, I hope that I get to be able to do this in a way in the future that enables me to be selective and also enables me to be selective and to charge accordingly and to be fair and also to help. So I mean, COVID took my speaker fees from the highest they'd ever been to zero for a year, right? And so literally was starting all over again. Like I would reach out to, like, you know, this is going back 15 years ago, I'd reach out to anybody and just be like, hey, can I just stand on stage and talk for 5 minutes? I'll talk about whatever you want. And then just before COVID hit, it was like I was hitting my stride with, if you can be anything, be awesome. And and had all these paid keynotes and I had a lot going on, and then COVID happened, and you know, part of my speaking too was I had a lot of paid speaking from my employer, and when I got let go, that was gone. But I still had to honor those, so it cost me a lot of money too.
Oh, right.
And and I think that pays off. That pays dividends, right? Because if I said, "Oh, sorry, too bad, so sad, these guys no longer employ me," yada yada yada, then I got repeat business that actually paid. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm now just starting to catch my stride again, where, you know, I'm getting, you know, five-figure numbers for keynotes, which is,
yeah,
you know, if you get to that point, you only have to do, you know, 20 or 30 to equal the 50 or 60 that you do for a lesser amount. But then there's the flip side of, you know, Chambers, Alabama. Go on my YouTube channel and listen to that story, where they deserved and they wanted to have me there, and they didn't have the funds for it. So just trying to figure that out. And maybe it's sponsors. This I will go back to you with. I am open to sponsors, but we got to figure out the right way to do it, because you already know I screwed the sponsorship up once with I want to give them a plug. What's that mind focus stuff? Oh my god, I didn't tell you about this.
No. You mean the little
shots? Yeah.
Yeah. No. I didn't know you actually went through with that. Tried it.
No. I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
well, so, let me just say, the beauty of this podcast is even when you have real guests on, we'll just let the secret out. We try to be genuine, right? We don't really do a lot of prep and advanced questions.
No.
So you and I will be bouncing back and forth, topic to topic. First of all, we both have ADHD, so. sponsors. Mm-hmm. I don't say this just it's not a, it's not solely like it's not a greed thing at all.
Right.
It's just. You and I are loyal people. We like to promote each other and other people who we like and trust. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
We're not gonna pitch a random product here. It's something we use.
Well, that was the whole thing. Like this company reaches out to me, and it was a shot that you take every day, a drink, not a alcohol, non-alcoholic, vitamin type shot, a nootropic that you take every day, and it's supposed to help you with mental focus and energy, and it's a natural caffeinated thing. And so this company reached out to me, and they're like, hey, we want to sponsor your podcast. This was a year and a half ago. And I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. And they're like, have you heard of us? And I said, no. And they're like, well, we'd like to ship you out the product. And, you know, if it works, great, we'll continue the conversation. If it doesn't, you can keep the product and just say that you did it and, you know, give your feedback on it on your podcast, and we'll just call it friends. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, if I'm going to, and this is kind of my feel on anything that we would have a sponsor on, is if I'm going to suggest to people to buy something, I should buy it myself. So I bought the product. I took it. It came in like a 14-day supply. I took it, and Amy's like, so what'd you think? I'm like, nothing. Didn't feel anything. This doesn't work. I'm not using it. I'm done. So fast forward like a couple of weeks, and she's like, Joe Rogan does it. And I'm like, what? She's like, Joe Rogan promotes it. He does it. And like, I've taken some of his mental focus and his products that he promotes. They do work. Right. And then, who's the guy that she likes? Shazam. What's his name in real life? Adam, you know Shazam?
Shaquille.
No, is it not? What's his? It's not Shaquille. What's the
actor?
Yeah.
Oh, the actor. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the age.
Yeah.
He was in the movie Shazam.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's going to kill me. He's got a campground in Texas.
Oh, McConaughey?
No. It's hang on, I'll tell you. I'm looking it up.
Look it up. Google. I
can think of other shows he's on.
Yeah, I'm gonna feel stupid when I say it. It's Zachary Levi. So then Zachary Levi, who everybody loves, who's got a great story, he's promoting the stuff. And so I'm like, wow, maybe these guys are all like just in it for the money. So then I look, and it's like the effects and the whatever happen after 28 days. So I was only 50% there. So I only got a 14-day supply, and I'm like, I give up. So I got to read the labels. We got to pay a little bit more attention and definitely, find things that fit and align with what we do, because I think we're at that point. We're almost in the top 2% of all podcasts. People are listening. People love it. People are giving feedback, like get Mark on the podcast more often.
I want to know who those people are.
Yeah.
I want names and addresses.
Yeah, you want to get them on the Christmas
list. Because I want all two of them on my Christmas list. Maybe three. And thank you to your wife for being one of them.
Let me tell you, they're all in your house. How's that? You don't need to put a stamp on any envelope.
Josh, if it's from my house, it's my daughter, because I have three kids, two boys and a girl, and she's the only one who's read my book. So the others, it definitely wasn't them. I can promise you that.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I just threw you under the bus on this podcast.
Yeah. You got to get an audio version. Boys don't read.
No, they're totally waiting.
You're
for
the rare because you read.
I do.
Like literally read a book. Paper.
I always have at least two books going on at one time.
That's
sometimes
amazing.
Three. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. No, I just can't do it.
Well, it's not all like, you know, inspirational self-help stuff. Most of it's fiction, just to take a break from reality. But
you watch TV?
I do. Well, I don't watch regular TV. I stream. Mm-hmm. I have certain shows and I kind of binge watch, and then I go off for a TV for a month. But when I get a good show, yeah, I watch. So, I try to watch an episode a night.
So you know what I watched the most on my 41 days of my travel? I had
is this a guess?
I had two nights in Yakima with Ryan Schwartz, my coworker, teammate of previous 12 years. Literally, I spent 20-something days in a hotel or an Airbnb. I've watched no TV, and Ryan and I were in Yakima, which is an interesting city, in a 1920s boxing gym turned Airbnb with a bed in the middle of the boxing ring. The two nights that we were there, we binge watched the most unlikely thing that you would think I would binge watch.
Give me a hint. Like a genre. What genre?
It's a reality series.
You didn't.
I did.
Not the Old People Bachelor.
No.
Okay.
No.
Survivor?
Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Really?
Yep.
Josh.
It sucked me right in.
Oh my gosh.
It sucked me in.
I am shocked.
It sucked. So
I mean, I haven't even stooped that low.
No, it was.
I'm sure it was great.
So we were at this Airbnb. We had the TV that has, you know, the smart TV with the Roku or whatever. And I'm like, oh man, I forgot all my logins. Well, good news for us, Miss Betty's mom is actually what the account was set up under. And Miss Betty's mom had quite the viewing history of her Hulu really? Account, but we were lucky that we had it. So right when we went in, the first thing that popped up was Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and it had like a stream of it. And I'm like, dude, we got to watch this. Like, we got to see what these billionaires are actually showing the world.
Right.
And we got sucked in. Like, we ordered DoorDash both nights and just sat there and worked and watched and were like, what in the world is going on here?
Like, it's wild.
The money they make and like what they talk about, it's like mind blown.
Well,
have you watched it?
I have not watched it. I don't really like the Kardashians. No, I like to watch shows that have stories behind them, you know? Like,
oh, these are stories, like, but you just can't believe them.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in that.
But so here's my thing. And you know, good for them that they did all this.
Oh, I don't begrudge them at all.
I mean, entrepreneurs, like,
yeah,
100%. Kris Jenner, like, good for you. Like, congratulations. But I just, like, for me, just me personally, I'd rather help a hardworking small business owner, you know, making the best that they can to take care of the customer. And I would probably look the other way when four sisters and their mother all show up in $1 million custom Rolls Royces and Gulfstream jets, and they're doing all this stuff, and people keep flocking to them. Like, they're following, and their everything just continues to grow. Like, they have an empire.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here going, oh my God, like, that's just crazy.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
It's not Kanye, who has a brilliant music career, who
right.
has a global empire too. These people, how did they get that?
Yeah, I mean,
they just, you know what I mean? It wasn't like a talent that they had, except for entrepreneurship.
But. Well, I mean, that's a whole episode in itself to figure out where, like, because we could all say that it was the sex tape, right? That's what springboarded. But I mean, there was other stuff before that with, you know, Kris Jenner's previous marriages and all that other stuff. But they figured it out, and they figured out reality TV. And I think they've been doing it for like, didn't this start like 15 years ago?
I don't even know.
It's a long freaking time. Like, it seems like you watch these people grow up. That was kind of the thing that we started binge watching. I'm like, what year is this? Like, has it been on this long?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I do like, I'm going to switch gears a little bit to some podcasts, because I do like Dax Shepard's The Armchair Expert.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yep.
But I like what they do is they talk for like, I don't know. The shows are like an hour and a half. They're long.
Yeah.
And then after, they do sort of a fact check. And that's like a show in it by itself.
Yeah.
Where they go back and review the tapes and be like, oh, actually, the Kardashians have been doing this for 22 years, not 12 years. You know?
Yeah.
But it's like its own little show.
So now you're going to do fact checking on
it. I'm not going to call it fact checking, but I think we might, you know.
Wasn't Dax Shepard married to the woman that was on the reality show with the guy that did the home makeovers?
I am the worst person to ask any entertainment.
I'm going to fact check. We don't need to have an episode. I'm going to look it up.
There are people in my family, I'm not going to say any names, my wife, who have loyal subscribers to People Magazine and would know all this stuff. I am terrible at Hollywood gossip. And
he's married now to Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell.
No, yeah. That's not that's Dax Shepard then. That's somebody
else.
Yeah,
no, Dax Shepard is married to Kristen Bell for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to, you know, pause for a second and just give my thoughts about Matthew Perry's untimely death. I was a big fan of Friends, as a lot of us in my age group were, and it was just sad. You know, it's just sad to see it. He was 54 years old, and it just kind of made me a little sad.
Yeah, and I grew up with him. I mean, I think it launched in '93.
Well, you're younger than me, but yes, we both.
Did it start in 93?
It was a 10-year show, so we both...
93 to 04, I think.
And you need to think about Matthew. I always have trouble calling people Matthew like you. I can't call you Joshua. You know,
no, ever. It's just my mother when she's mad at me.
But like, you know, he was obviously very successful and rich and wealthy, but he was like us. He had everyday problems.
Yeah.
He had demons, and we all have demons, right?
Yeah.
And he went up and down and up and down, and just when you thought he was coming out of that, he... It's sad.
You know, I think that the... my opinion on the whole thing is that, like you say, he had demons. He worked through them. He did the absolute best that he could. And I think, you know, the hardest part with that celebrity piece is, like, instead of realizing that the world has lost a human, which that's the most valuable, you know, they hit the lottery, right? It's a blueprint. There'll never be another Matthew that's here. And I was just dumbfounded at the importance of, you know, toxicology reports and all this stuff. And it's like, he drowned, he's gone, let the family mourn, let the actors that, you know, mourn, let him do all that stuff. The news was just so fixated on, well, did he drink himself to death and drown?
Right.
It's like, who cares? He's gone. Like, he was a dynamic person on screen, and I could just imagine, you know, I would have loved to have met him.
Yeah, me too.
It was he was one of those people like Eric Estrada. Like, you were there when I got to meet Eric Estrada, and it was was he everything that I thought he'd be because of what he was on TV? Like, I could just picture.
I think Matthew was.
I think he would have been like a funny guy.
He was just a funny
hanging
guy.
Out.
Like, that's
what
I hear.
Yeah. He would have just been a funny guy. But
well, some of them are just, you know, good on screen.
Yeah.
And you don't really care to beat them off screen.
Yeah. But yeah, it you know, what he went through as far as just that, and I don't know enough about him or his family. I don't know if there was addictive personality in his family. I don't know if this was, I don't know if his challenges were based on stress. I would assume that they are. I mean, most people that are in that spotlight have those anxieties, if you will. That's what it is. I mean, it's an anxiety that you try to control with substance.
Yep.
And I mean, he was heavy. I mean, he had, you know, surgeries and he had, you know, 10 stints in rehab and all this stuff.
Surgeries because of his opioid addiction.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Opioids, you don't,
that's a different show.
Yeah, that's a whole different show.
I need to up my medicine just thinking about it because it really saddens the hell out of me. So what's our plan for today? Cause we have some other guests. I just want to see how long do you want to go with? Cause I mean, we could do this all day long.
Oh, we got a couple minutes anyway, right?
Okay.
Adam, how are we doing? We got a couple minutes?
We
got almost a half an hour. Wow.
And we haven't even scratched the surface, which is awesome. So 40 days, you're home now. It's now November.
Day 3, November 3rd. Been home. I flew home. So I woke up at 3:30, 4 a.m. in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin on October 31st after giving an amazing keynote.
All right.
So this
group. All right. Listen, thanks. Thanks for not throwing me under the bus. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to throw myself coming. Under the bus. Yeah. Okay. No, you want to do it?
Yeah, no. I was planning on it. Yeah, no.
Okay.
No,
I wasn't sure if you were just going to be give me a.
Well, I didn't tell you all of the importance and the history of this keynote. So I want you to hear it.
All right.
First,
here we go. Here we go.
And then you'll hear the bus running.
You got over. 2 minutes because I don't want.
So it was October 31st, 2017. I was giving my last keynote before I was going home before the birth of our son, Chance. Okay. So Amy was at home pregnant. Danny was still a trick-or-treater. I woke up that morning. I delivered a keynote in an inflatable Godzilla costume. It was one of the dumbest things I had ever done, but it was one of the things I always tell people, just be you. Like, just do you, right?
It was Halloween. That was cool.
Right, but it was dumb. And it was an inflatable costume. You can't give a keynote an inflatable costume. There's a fan running. There's all sorts of stuff. I had to get it. I had to take it off. It was a huge fail.
Okay.
Microphone couldn't hear me through the thing. It was just a huge fail. But it was well received. But I was like, these guys are never going to have me back again. But on that morning, did the keynote, jumped in the car, drove to Chicago, got home just in time to deliver, to pick up candy with Danny for trick or treat. And so fast forward 5 years. They asked me to do the keynote on October 30th, and they want to do Be Awesome t-shirts with their logo on the back, 350, 400 of them, whatever we did. And so I said, absolutely. And then I was like, all right, fly in on the 29th, Sunday night, get a good night's sleep, do the keynote, and fly out the night of the 30th. Well, there were no flights. Mm. So I had to get up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, Wisconsin Dells. And of course it's snowing. Why wouldn't it be?
Right.
And snowed the whole way for the 150-mile drive to Milwaukee. And got there snowing. I'm like, I'm not going to make it home for trick or treat. But thank you, JetBlue. They got me on the plane. They boarded us. They took off and we got back and went trick or treating. The unfortunate part of all of that was I had a lot of bags. I want a new toolbox. There was a lot of pack mule stuff and I could have really used an extra set of hands that I had counted on to be there with me. So much so that I made breakfast reservations for Sunday morning with my partner whose brother-in-law is how we actually built the friendship originally. So, you know, I don't want you to feel bad, but I got to tell you, my back hurts. No, all sincerity and honesty, you were missed, but completely understandable. There's only one time that, you know, that's like, I can't miss trick or treat, can't miss a birthday,
right.
Can't miss a milestone, your son playing in a senior golf tournament. That's a big deal.
State championship last time.
Did they win?
They came in third.
How many teams played?
15.
Well, at least it wasn't three.
15 best. Yeah. No. Well, they came in, they lost the second place by a point, but 3 years in a row, they've been to the state championship. I know.
Yeah.
Didn't tell you that it was third year in a row, but it was his last one.
It's his last. Yeah. He's not going to be able to do it another time.
And they came in third each time by like points, like 1 or 2 points, which is not a lot. So thank you.
Did you ever read 212 Degrees? That's an easy read.
No.
It's basically, it's a book of sayings that and analogies and scenarios that basically, you know, water at 211 degrees is hot. Water at 212 degrees produces steam and energy. And it talks about the number of strokes between like first place and 27th place in a PGA golf tournament is like three. Like it's not a lot.
It's not a lot.
Yeah. So.
I get it. I get it.
One stroke from first to second to third.
Yeah. That's kind of like our podcast, you know. We're at 211 right now.
So
maybe 210.
So this is a curious question.
Maybe 200.
I'm terrible at golf. So this is a curious question. You're pretty good.
No, I'm not good. My kids are good. I'm not good.
How did they get good?
Oh, they just played a ton. We don't have time to play.
So they didn't like go out and play with you when they were kids or?
Well, I got them into the game. I'm going to take credit for that for sure. But then I just spent the money on them, not me.
Yeah.
Put them into lessons.
So yeah, so I mean, golf is a game of inches, right? And in a lot of cases, like,
you have no idea.
What's the pressure like? What are your kids? What do they put on themselves for pressure like after a round like that, where it was one stroke or 1 point, which I'm assuming is a stroke.
Yes, one single stroke.
So playing over every stroke and going, man, I should have done this or should have done that. Is that like? Is that an intensity, or do they realize that it's like it's the game overall?
I'll tell you this: I am so impressed with my son Sean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed with all my kids, but there's so much adversity in the game of golf that you have to overcome. I mean, literally, hole to hole, shot to shot.
Yeah.
First of all, you have played golf. We both stink at it, but there's a pre-shot routine that you have to do consciously or subconsciously for every single shot.
Yeah.
Is my stance right? Is my grip right? Am I standing over the ball right? You know, are my feet right? Do I have the right club? Is the club open enough? You know, there's so many different decisions. Like, it is very stressful, especially as a parent. I think the kids get used to it a little bit, but as a parent, it's very stressful. And I am so proud of him because he committed last week to play golf at Bates College, which is an outstanding school up in Lewiston, which we can talk about too.
Yeah, I was actually just going to ask you
about that. Thankfully, Lewiston was safe and fine, and nobody from the campus got hurt or injured, which is awesome.
But you guys were up there 4 days before.
We were up there 4 days before, and what a beautiful place. Like, it was just so sad. It was just surreal 4 days later to have this incident happen. But real quickly, it's tough. I mean, there's six guys playing golf in this championship. Mm-hmm. Four scores count. Four out of the six count. I mean, one stroke is one lip out.
Yeah.
It's one miss hit. It's, you know, it's one miss putt opportunity. There's so many crazy things. It does mess with their heads. I mean, all of them come off the course because you don't know how the team did, right?
Right.
You're just like, oh my God, we didn't play well.
So they're each playing on different holes.
Different holes. They don't play with each other. In the tournament, you play with three other kids from other schools.
Yeah.
And it was an extremely tough course up in Hamden, Mass. And yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how these kids overcome really just, what do you call it? Rejection, a failure. It's, you could call it failure, but it's not. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. The life lessons these guys learn go far beyond the fairways and greens for sure.
Right.
So good job, Sean.
Yeah.
Looking forward to watching you next year at Bates. And yeah.
So, and I want to ask you this, and congratulations, Sean, and in the school. And but I did want to ask you, you know, because Lewiston is beautiful. Once you get, I mean, Maine's just a beautiful state, right? It's not a lot of people. It's a lot of woods. It's a lot of, it's like one of the least violent states. I mean, the total murder count in the state of Maine last year was 29.
Total.
Right. The whole state.
Yep.
This one incident was 18 souls lost and 20 or 30 injured.
It was the worst mass shooting this year in the country.
So,
out of the 550 plus mass shootings,
I know how I felt because I know the facility director at Lewiston Public. I know people that work in Lewiston. I know Lewiston. And I know how I felt from someone that hasn't been there in a while and just knowing people. But what was that like for you? Like waking up, or not waking up because it was at night, but like putting on the news or someone saying, hey, because I mean, I called in. I'm like, hey, this is crazy. Yeah. But what was that like as a parent for like, I was just at this place 4 days ago and it seemed like it was so perfect and everything else. And now all this happens. Like, did you have like a, like for me, my gut check is like, oh, my kids aren't going there. Like that's just that like crazy, like parent feeling.
Yeah.
I know that wouldn't stick and stay because it's like, that can happen anywhere. Like that whole, like watching the news and the reporters always going to that one person in the audience. It's like, this never happens here and da-da-da-da-da. This stuff happens everywhere. We have to get to reality of this is no longer a society that we live in that, like, if something happens, when something happens.
Correct.
That said, you guys were there 4 days prior. Like, you probably drove past those places or in close proximity. Like, what was that like?
You know, honestly, I never once had thought of Sean's future there.
Yeah.
It was more, excuse me. You and I are both kind of, I mean, I use social media, but I'm not really crazy about it.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that the parent page, excuse me,
you'll take care of that, Adam, right?
Yeah.
Take some liquid death.
Yeah. Thank you, liquid death.
Yeah.
Mountain water. This is the plain flavor, but I think we have some raspberry.
We get berry. Yeah, these guys they're out in Europe, I think, and they're doing all right. They get $14 for an 8-pack.
Nice. So the Facebook page for the Bates College parents
was— So you're already on it?
Yeah, my wife is. Yeah, she jumped right on it. She wasted no time. And she said, it really was remarkable because, communication was kind of out for a little bit there. Yeah. And there were parents who were traveling for business and had no way of knowing how their kid was or whatever. They couldn't get in touch with them.
Yeah.
And they were communicating on the Facebook page saying, you know, I'm safe, he's safe. And
yeah,
that's when social media works, right? It works and it can work and it does work in these situations. So no, my wife didn't, anything about Sean's future there. It was just about the poor people of Lewiston.
Yeah.
It was just, our hearts went out to them.
Yeah. Well,
and like you said, it's going to happen. It can happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there's over 550 mass shootings alone this year.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I was in Dallas when the shooter at the parking garage was shooting at the police and there was a lockdown. I was in the lockdown in 2020 in the hospital district in Boston when there was the shooter at the valet that the police chased into Brookline. It's scary, but you're right. Your mindset kind of goes to like, you know, I'm okay. What, you know, how bad for all those other people? And it's, you know what though?
It's very traumatic for anybody in that area. I know my niece, there was an active shooter situation at her college. It turned out to be a false alarm.
Yeah.
But my brother-in-law it was like, I don't know, it was like 11 o'clock at night, and he drove 3 hours to the college to, you know, to, yeah, to find her and to be with her. It's weird. You're impacted no matter what.
Yep.
Even if it's a false alarm. It's scary.
So I was so angry. It was kind of, I gotta find this because it really shows where my brain is just so weird.
I get angry every time I hear it, honestly. I'm all for guns. I think people should have the protection, and
they should have the right. They should have the right if you know, they should have the right to.
You should have the right to have guns in your home. I don't want to alienate any of our listeners. I just don't understand the high capacity, you know.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that it's the high capacity. I think.
But
that
what do you need it
for? I think that's a conversation. I don't.
So what do you need an AR-15
so you,
for?
So you and I talked about this.
Yeah.
And you said, you know, you went into the guns and I went into mental health. I don't understand how someone that was committed in August, hearing voices and saying that he shoot up an Army Reserve base, was allowed to purchase guns. I believe that there is a flaw in the system that is enabling people that should not have a right to bear arms based on their mental health. Like, hey, let's see if we can get you fixed. Let's see if there's something wrong. Let's see if there's something that,
yeah,
like,
well, that was supposed to happen.
Right. That
was
and that didn't happen. But that's happened on multiple occasions. Like that's the breakdown. The breakdown is in, you know, not having proper safeguards in place in certain states. And I think that that's one of those things. It's just like, you know, it just boggles my mind. That was the thing that boggled my mind, was like, how is this guy with all the things that had happened, the mental well-being check and all this stuff, how is he able to go in someplace and legally purchase those guns? That's my challenge.
I mean I've done my reading on it a little bit, but I think he already had guns.
Yeah.
I know he bought
more recently.
He went to buy a silencer, and this is what blew me away too. On the form at the shop that he wanted to buy the silencer,
yeah,
you have to check, do you have you recently been diagnosed or treated for a mental illness? And he actually checked yes.
Yeah.
And the guy said, I'm sorry, I can't sell you. But he could have just checked no, right?
Right.
There's no check on it. That's my thing.
Yeah.
You self-report your mental health. Which shouldn't really be the case. You should be have the, this.
No,
this is where I think the national background thing needs to be hooked up to, you know, people's.
Well, I think we're so far off on checks and balances overall. And it's not an analogy or a comparison, but like, I had a company that digitally hijacked me a year ago, mm-hmm. right? They took all my stuff, and if you searched for me for 6 months, it went to someone else's website.
Yeah.
And there's no laws against it. And I think that, and I'm not saying it's the same thing, but I think we're in like 1962 with the checks on people. Like, there's so much technology out there that you could, and I get HIPAA violations and all that stuff. But we're talking about people with mental health issues. Like, if you're checked in and you've got a mental health issue and you're voluntary or involuntarily, you know, put in some place to get checked out, and they find that you have some challenges, especially if you're hearing voices and things like that. Like, that should be something that's on a gun registry, that you go into a gun store, you go to a gun fair, you do whatever, there's a flag that pops up and says, no, hold off, wait a minute, let's...
That's all I'm saying, and we can end this debate now, because I believe in guns. I'm fine with people having guns.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why we don't have that national system in place.
Yep. Yep. No, and I got to tell you,
look, this is a bad example, Josh, but if you're a sex offender, you're flagged in the system for the rest of your life.
And I can go on, I can actually go on the computer, and I can see that, like, that
in your neighborhood, you can see if there's one.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. So we had some parents at school that had some questions and things, and it was kind of a heated discussion, and it sounded like they knew what they were talking about. I said, hey, how many sex offenders live within a mile around this school? Nobody could answer me. I said, well, four. They go, how do you know that? I said, I went on the website. I know where sex offenders live, where our close proximity of my kids. I always know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a right to kind of know these things so that we're protecting ourselves. I was driving over here, and Amy sent me a text, and she's like, there's two people with clipboards just pulled down our driveway. First of all, our driveway is 800 feet long. You come down our driveway, you better be invited.
Yeah. Speaking about guns.
Right. So you better be invited, right, to come down our driveway. But I want to know who's around and who lives here. But on a different subject, on the night of the shooting, it was October 26th, never forget it. I was in my room. I was preparing for my keynote the next morning. And I don't know if you texted me. Somebody texted me, and they're like, oh, my God, you got put on the news. Because I go down the rabbit hole. Like, mm-hmm. I tell people not to go down it. But when I do it, it's bad. Like, I'm up for 3 days watching, you know, and it's bad. And so I purposely try to avoid it. And so I don't know if it was you or somebody that night on the 26th of October said put on the news. And so I put on CNN. And I put on Fox News. So I put it, I bounce from one to the other because, you know, neither of them are right. Like, they're just both, they're both reporting. And that's all they're doing. They're reporting, and it's not a result. And so I put the news on, and I went to CNN, and then I went to Fox. And, you know, shame on Fox. Like, this is, and I like Fox News, and I like CNN News in each of them. But this was really bad taste. They had... You know, we got all stuff going on in Israel and Gaza. They had a reporter in Israel reporting about their thoughts on the shooting and comparisons that was going on. It was like the weirdest thing.
Right.
So I get so angry. I'm like, that's it. And I went on GoDaddy. I'm like, the news sucks.com. I bought it. Next morning, I got told I own the news sucks.com. So if I ever want to do something, because like I try to tell people all the time, is like, if you think the world's worse, then if you think the world's all bad, it is. If you think the world's all good, it is. And it's like, you have to try to figure out how to find that healthy balance and find good stuff. And so, you know, it's kind of, I do this talk with schools, and I say, you know, I give them a piece of paper, and I say, all right, I want you to write one awesome thing that happened in your school district in the last year. And a lot of times people are hesitant. They're like, well, what is it? And it's not because they have so many awesome things that they think about. And then I say, all right, tell me one bad thing that happened. Write down one bad thing. And they'll just feverishly write, or they'll say, I don't have enough paper. And it's because their brains are wired to think about the bad before they think about the good. Mm-hmm. So I bought the newsucks.com. If anybody wants to buy it, it's also for sale, because I just don't know what I'm going to do with it. I was just angry and figured that was what I would do is I was going to put something that was just the news sucks and put good stories.
Yeah, it was a crazy month all around for you personally, for the news. Just life was busy. Let's try to wrap this up by talking a little bit about the book and the direction of Be Awesome, because I know we have some work to do. To our fans out there, we are working on the site to make it even better and more accessible for everyone. So that's coming up soon. But I wanted to throw an idea about the book to you.
Because so you're going to throw an idea about the book to me on a podcast that you haven't asked me about.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, this is how you and I roll. Yeah. We haven't talked about this yet.
All right.
But I figured let's just do it live.
Yeah.
That's two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
So my third book, it'll be my third book in 3 years. So it's a lot.
Yeah.
And the idea for this book is Josh has an incredible story. And I am so privileged and honored that you invited me to share it, help you share it. It's a lot easier for an author to write about someone than it is to help them massage their own words. And I like to do things differently. And I'm just throwing this out there. I'd love to have some feedback from our listeners, honestly.
And the two that recommend
it. And my family members.
Yeah.
I'm serious. This is something different. And I don't know if a lot of people do it this way. I would love to write a book where it's almost like alternating chapters, where I write a chapter about you. And then you write you're not going to write your chapter that follows isn't going to be a commentary on what I wrote. Just, I'd like to bounce back and forth the narrative, two voices, because there's so much that people would want to hear about you that you couldn't write about yourself.
All right.
It's hard to write.
So can you give me an example of like what one chapter is in your brain?
Just like, you're going to have a hard time writing about your pre-talk routine. Like, and I've witnessed it. Like, I know you're about to hyperventilate every single time you go on stage, even though you've done it hundreds and hundreds of times.
Yeah.
And this is the other thing people don't know about you is Josh will call me 2 minutes before he's about to go live on stage.
Yeah.
And I can hear the audience buzzing in the background. He's like, yeah, I just got a minute here. I'm just about to go on stage. There's 500 people in the audience. And hey, did you get a chance to... And he's going through a checklist of things in his head that have nothing to do with the talk. And I'm going, man, Josh, you're on the stage. He's like, I got to go. I got to do my breathing exercise before I hyperventilate. So like I want to tell some parts of your life that you're not going to be able to tell yourself because you're not going to think of them or you don't think they're important.
Yeah.
And then the next chapter would be sort of like, you would jump in and say, I'm not always awesome.
Yeah.
And then you kind of write about an experience. And then I write in the next chapter, I kind of pick up the trail on some of those themes. And also it's easier for me to.
Has this ever been done before?
I don't know. I mean,
you read a lot of books. Like, have you ever?
I've never read a book that.
Where did you come up with this idea? Let's put it that way.
Because I have ADHD, and I just think of this stuff all the time.
No, but you just randomly you're baking bread one night, and you're like, you know what? That might be a good bread. By the way, he bakes bread. It's fantastic.
I do a lot of thinking when I'm cooking and when I'm baking. Maybe a bourbon here and there, but no. Honestly, I was thinking about. How if I was going to write, this is where the idea came from. I think I could write an awesome book about you.
Yeah. I know you could. That's why I chose you.
But it's important for you to be an equal or it's important to you to be writing some of it as well.
Yeah.
Because this is transcends into your career and your future and, you know, ability to brand yourself. So I don't think it's ever been done. I think it would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
I don't know how exactly I'm going to weave it back and forth, but it'll be clear.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm asking you or telling you this. I haven't decided that part yet.
So you kind of had me because I was thinking about that even like when I was writing stuff and sending it to you. That was hard for me. Like it was hard to tell the Mrs. Singleton story, right?
Yeah.
That's hard for me to write about it. And there was a number of other ones I was like, well, geez, yeah, but I kind of like that. Yeah. I kind of like the idea that you kind of see me and you get me as far as like even in a short amount of time because we've spent so much time and because like I'm sitting here going, yeah, I guess I do that and I don't even realize that's just my routine. It's like, oh, shoot, I got to call Mark and ask him if he shipped that T-shirt yet while I'm sitting getting ready to go on stage and write. You say, like you say, it's like. It's
minutes. It's minutes before this. You're not calling me a half hour before. Mm. You're calling me minutes or.
Yeah. I was behind stage the last one.
Yeah. Or, hey, I'm just about to hop on a plane. I'm going to Alaska.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, a little shadowing of you.
Yeah.
And like, I'll just pick up some of the things that will really complete.
Does
the
that
story.
Mean you get to come on the road? With
yeah.
Them?
That's part of it. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah. I'm not going for 40 days, but you know.
All right. Yeah. No, that's deal. So we'll talk more.
There's so much more about your life.
Yeah.
Outside of specific stories.
Yeah.
And these little incidents back up.
Yeah.
Who you are.
Yeah.
Your authenticity. It's different when you're talking about, you know, buying plane tickets for people stuck in Florida because of a hurricane. It's different when somebody else explains that 100%. Kindness than you saying, "Hey."
Yeah, if you say it yourself, you're humble bragging.
Yeah, it's not a humble brag, but yeah. So
that's not why and you hear those stories from others typically, or you'll hear me just say it something like that just in passing. Like,
yeah. Plus, I want to get some of your friends. I want to hear this. I want them to talk about you, and you can't really do that. Yeah. You can't say, "Hey, this is what my friend thinks of me."
Mm-hmm. Well, I can, but I probably
you
lie.
Know. I mean, some of the people in your life would take a bullet for you. And I want them to be part of the book, too, because it backs up who you are.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we got to wrap this up. But I got to tell you, you got me on two things. One, it's never been done before. I always want to do things that have never been done before. And two, the idea that you want to do it to get the message the right way, which is beyond what I would do, which is true, which is, again, that's the hardest part is I don't do this. Again, the talks I do aren't meant to be about me. It's meant to be about the greatness and everybody in the audience. And that's hard, right? So it's like, I've been struggling. That's why it's 5 years in and I don't have a book. So let's do it. You just got it. Episode 112, Mark put me on the spot as we're closing out. And you got to close out and ask everybody for ratings and reviews and do all that stuff. But Mark Resnick just laid out the book diagram and we're going to do it. And now that means that he has to travel with me on occasion. And Sean's golf is over. He's not going to college until correct. The fall. Do we, like, we'll work through any times I have to uninvite. By the way, Mark didn't say he wasn't coming with me to Wisconsin. I uninvited him. He was uninvited from coming when he told me about this. So he didn't let me down in any way. I let him down by uninviting him to a wonderful trip, which we had a great breakfast, by the way, with David Cooks, your brother-in-law.
Yeah.
You were missed. We kept the table. We kept the seat open. Nice. It was an empty seat. We had a glass of water because we didn't want to waste good home fries and eggs on something that wasn't going to get eaten. But there was a glass of water in honor of you, and we'll figure out the trips to go on. So that's cool. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
This is great.
Hey, Josh, thanks for being on the podcast today. Like you said, episode 112. And if you like the conversations that we had and we're going to continue to have, then please definitely leave us a 5-star review or any review, really. We just want your honest feedback. And if there's something we can do better, please email Josh at beawesome.com. That's BEAUSM.com. And we appreciate your time and look forward to talking with you soon.
Yeah. And if you can be anything, be awesome.
Damn it.
Come to you from underneath a peach blossom. It's time for an episode of Be Awesome. Find positivity throughout your life and work. Just like our mascot Rooster, Steve the Jerk.